takes a lot to be vulnerable, and I learned to be that in drama school. You know, I think through the veil of acting and performance, I've sort of learned to put on masks that help me be vulnerable. And I think that that's the most liberating thing I could have experienced as a young person. We spend a lot of our younger years trying to be something that we're not, or trying to fit into the sort of version of what society thinks is cool and hip and beautiful and popular and all those things. But through acting, I sort of learned that human nature is meant to be all different and all individualistic.
Hey, folks, that's Jacob Batalon talking about the importance of acting in his life, just not just as a career, but as something that's helped him in his personal life, like get confidence, showing him how to be vulnerable and how allowing himself to be vulnerable has helped him as a person. So really cool, introspective, fun conversation with him. I was really impressed with him and thought he was a really cool guy to talk to. That full interview is coming up in a second. Before we get to that, can we get a petition started to get people to stop FaceTiming in public? I'm walking down the street in New York. I got to hear and see people's faces on phones. I'm on the subway and I start hearing this. And I think it's somebody on speaker. No, they could take it to another level. It's FaceTiming. You're FaceTiming on a subway. You want to see a face? Just there's 50 of them staring at you because you're an ass FaceTiming on the subway. Stop it. Do I need to live other people's lives? Well, what do you want? You want meatloaf for dinner? Like I'm sitting there listening to this person giving around. I'm screaming on the subway. No, not meatloaf. I had it last night. How about string beans? I figured, you know, if you're going to make me part of the conversation, I'm going to be part of the conversation. If you see somebody FaceTiming in public, slap them. It's worth going to jail. Okay? I feel much better. All right. Enjoy Jacob Batalon. Really cool conversation with him. As always, tell folks about the podcast, spread the word, spread the links, and you can always follow me on social media at Paul Mercurio. And coming up in a month, December 15th to the 17th, I'm going to be at the Des Moines, Iowa Funny Bone. So if you guys are in Iowa, come on out, check me out. All right, enjoy Jacob. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. My guest this week, very excited to talk to this this guy. I've really admired his work, and he's come up fast and furious, as they say, in the business. You know him for his role as Peter Parker's best friend, Ned Leeds, in Spider-Man Homecoming, Avengers Infinity War, Spider-Man Far From Home. Has a tremendous list of movie credits already. And his latest project is this really cool dramedy called Reginald the Vampire, which is now on Sci-Fi. It's his first season, and it's Jacob Batalon. Great to have you on the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really like the concept of this show, Reginald the Vampire, because I love the humor in it. And I love your character, sort of an everyman character that gets sort of thrown a curveball. Tell people a little bit about what happens to your character and how the series kicks off.
Yeah, you know, so our show follows Reginald Andres, who is basically on all accounts just a regular everyday guy. He's self-aware. He understands that society and pop culture and the media has really formed in his mind, he believes people think about him, the sort of societal stereotype of like not being a typical quote unquote beautiful person. And so he finds his meaning through life in death, you know, because after becoming a vampire, he truly understands what it means to become human. And, you know, sort of like typical things of like finding his place in the world and finding purpose in his life. And the vampires in our movie sort of hold up a mirror to society in that, you know, in this community, vampires, because they see Reginald as not their vision of beauty and importance, they want him dead. So that's the sort of like dichotomy that goes on in the show. And I think it's a really fun show. It's like dramatic and sad and sweet and funny, all wrapped up into this really great show.
Yeah, well, there's a scene that sums up before you become a vampire. You're working at a movie theater at the concession stand. And they go down the line and everybody's really nice. And then you come to you and your character goes, what? Like, and so it feels like your character's kind of beaten down a little bit by this, what you describe as the sort of societal judgmental attitude, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, you know, we as human beings, although we may not feel like it, we tend to be judgmental, even if we don't mean it that way. And I think that what the main point of the show is that your value and what makes you special and different and unique is what's inside of you and not your outward appearance.
And you're right. The vampires are all pretty beautiful people, so that they suffer from the same foibles that regular people do. And that's one of the points of the show, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you find that growing up, I mean, you know, you were that person?
I feel like I related to Reginald a lot, just as I'm sure a lot of people have. I mean, Will, in the sense that we all grew up, you know, seeing people in the media and pop culture and Hollywood telling us that this is what perfection is. This is what beauty is. This is what makes you special. And I think a lot of us have really grown up in that sort of like insecurity. And I'd like to think that, you know, through this show, I hope people understand that, again, what makes you special and beautiful and unique is what you have on the inside is what matters the most.
Right. So where did you get the courage, given what you say, which is true about how society and especially Hollywood sort of measures people, if you will, and judges people and values people based on outward appearances, et cetera. And, you know, you're a young man, you know, barely out of college, and you start landing these roles in 2016. So where had to know, I assume you knew going in, like, not that you're not a good looking guy or whatever, but, you know, neither you nor I are Liam Hemsworth. Right. So like, how did you get the courage to go into that business, into this business, knowing that, especially as a young guy?
Yeah. You know, I think it takes a lot to be vulnerable. And I learned to be that in drama school. You know, I think through the veil of acting and performance, I've sort of learned to put on masks that help me be vulnerable. And I think that that's the most liberating thing I could have experienced as a young person. Like, we spend a lot of our younger years trying to be something that we're not, or trying to fit into the sort of version of what society thinks is cool and hip and beautiful and popular and all those things. But through acting, I sort of learned that human nature is meant to be all different and all individualistic. So I guess I kind of went into it with that in mind. But obviously, I'm human. I still get hurt by things people say, and people can say very hurtful things. But at the end of the day, you know, I know what I'm worth. I know my value. And I know that what I'm doing with my life is what I'm happy with. I'm doing things that make me happy and that fulfill me creatively. And in that sense, I don't even think about, you know, sort of the negative societal standards anymore. I just go out there and do my thing. And I know that people will be bothered by it. And that's what makes me feel pretty happy about it.
Yeah, but I think what balances it out for you now is that you're a legitimate star too. So in other words, like you know, it's funny. Like I had an experience where I checked into a hotel. I don't have the notoriety that you have, but I checked into a hotel and the guy didn't recognize me or know me. And then, and he gave me a hard time when I checked in, the guy behind the desk. And then when I went up to my room, and I came back, he was super apologetic because I guess somebody at the desk told him that I was, you know, I don't know, from TV or whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like within 20 minutes, he treated me completely differently. And I was like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You should just treat people the same no matter who they are.
Exactly. And, you know, I would say that that's like the double standard that we hold. You know, I feel like a lot of my life I've gone through the sort of judgments and all those things. And but when people start to realize who you are, they treat you differently. And that is absolutely a very disgusting sort of way to act in life. I think that just be a good person to everyone. But you know, sometimes, again, humans are human, and that's just how we act.
Yeah. I know you studied music theory for a while. Did you plan on going into music? Do you play an instrument? I mean, is that your, how did acting come about as a result?
Oh yeah. You know, ironically, I got into the acting path through music. I wanted to be a musician and write a lot of music, and it just really wasn't panning out for me. And it kind of led me to go to drama school in New York. And it just sort of happened that way for me. I think that my love for performance really came about when I started to learn about theater and acting and film method. And again, just like learning how to be vulnerable in front of other people was very liberating for me. It really showed me to not be, you know, insecure about myself, and just really, you know, the love of self-expression and creativity is what really put me on that path. And now we're here doing this interview.
Yeah. But you, when you say you, so in real life, you were feeling vulnerable, but it was hard to show that. And, but being able to show it through through character work helped you personally kind of alleviate stress and all that. That's fascinating.
Absolutely. I would say that, even if you don't want to be an actor, I would say trying some acting classes would be great just for self-introspection. I would say that, you know, I learned a lot about myself through performance. And even if you, I feel like if you struggle with being open and vulnerable, I would say taking an acting class or two would really help you sort of self-discover your inner workings.
Right. And were you always sort of drawn to performing of any kind, or did that sort of just sort of click on it later?
I absolutely, you know, as a kid, you know, being Filipino, my mom, you know, would always try to make me sing and perform at family gatherings and parties.
Oh, it's like Italians. I'm Italian. It's the same thing as Italians do the same thing. It's like, dance, sing,
exactly.
Dance.
Oh my gosh, exactly. So I definitely grew up in that sort of like realm. So that's sort of where it kind of started for me. But again, my real passion for acting really came through when I started going to drama school. And it was really just, I mean, the greatest time of my life to really discover who I am as a person.
I'm not very familiar with the Filipino culture, but what my sense is, it's similar to like Italians or Jews. It's like big family, food. Mm-hmm. Like what is it like growing up Filipino?
Yeah, you know, I would say that family is the most important thing in Filipino culture. I would say in a lot of Asian culture, like your family is the sort of binding force of your identity. And, you know, I think a lot of people would agree that the food is probably the most, the best thing about it, but also like the generational sort of like acceptance of love and being and growing as humans. I would say my family is a big part of that. So I guess it's really just a family oriented culture. You know, like we always talk about each other's lives. We're always in each other's lives, even if we don't necessarily want to be.
Right. Hey, before we jump, you lost 102 pounds for the Spider-Man No Way Home role. Was that something that the producers wanted you to do, or you just wanted to do that, or, and how did you do it?
Yeah, it was definitely more for my own personal health. You know, I've spent basically my entire life just, you know, not being the healthiest person. And so, you know, when the third movie came along, I kind of decided for myself to just really put myself out in that position to be healthier. The whole 100-pound loss thing was just a byproduct of like my willingness to be healthy. But it's been great. You know, I've been on that path ever since. And it's been great. I feel like I've very much become a completely different person with like my lifestyle and my diet and all those things. And it's been really great. I feel a lot better about myself mentally, emotionally. I feel stable.
Good. Well, that's great. So then I see you in your next role, I'll be looking for your 6-pack abs. Right.
Thank you.
Hey, Jacob, it's great to have you on. Congratulations on the show.
Thank
on
so
Sci-Fi
much.
Now, Reginald the Vampire, Jacob Batalon. Good talking to you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you so much, man.
All right, there you go. That's Jacob Batalon. Very cool guy. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope to see you guys on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Checking me out. Got a lot of fun stuff I've been posting there at Paul Mercurio. And come December, I will be at the Des Moines, Iowa Funny Bone. Hope to see you there. And we will see you next week, everybody.